Chinatown, and already there are bad traffic jams. Already there are people queuing up, long queues of people to buy Chinese New Year goodies. So no, it's not too early to think about Chinese New Year. And yes, it is true. Next week, I'll be speaking to you again. But next week's topic has already been set. It's a common topic for all the services in Cathedral. So today, please, let us focus on a pre-Chinese New Year message. In the Chinese lunar calendar, you know that 2018 will be the year of the dog. And if I were to ask you, how would you describe a dog using one word, just one word? What would that one word be? Maybe some of you would say friend, because after all, a dog is known as man's best friend. Or maybe some of you would say faithful, because a dog is absolutely faithful to its master. But me, if you ask me, how would I describe a dog in one word? That one word would be love. You know, just last year, my beloved dog, Jeffrey, passed away, went on to glory. And after he passed away, I received a condolence card. And someone wrote in that condolence card, "God made dogs to teach us how to love." God made dogs to teach us how to love. And when I read it, of course I cried. But also I thought, how true and how beautiful. Dogs teach us how to love. Perhaps the most famous dog in the world is a Japanese dog, and his name is Hachiko. Hachiko, this is a true story about a Japanese dog. Hachiko would follow his master to work every day. They would walk from home to the train station, and at the train station, Hachiko's master would say goodbye, and Hachiko would wave goodbye, and then the master would take the train to work. And then in the afternoon, Hachiko somehow knew it is time for the master to finish work. Don't ask me how, but believe me, if you've had a dog, you will know that dogs can really tell time. And so, every afternoon, when it was time for the master to finish work, Hachiko would walk on his own from the home to the train station and wait for the master. Then the master would return, and there would be great hugging and, you know, caressing, a nice reunion. And this went on. It went on for about 2 years. Until one day, when Hachiko was waiting at the train station for his master to return, his master never came back. Hachiko never saw his master again. And what happened was that when the master was at work, he suffered a brain hemorrhage and he died. Sadly, and Hachiko never saw his master again. Another man adopted Hachiko, but even though Hachiko was adopted by a new owner, he never lost his love and affection for his original master. And so for the next 10 years, you know, Hachiko was only 2 years old when his master died. And for the next 10 years, until Hachiko himself died, every day, he would walk to the train station in the morning. Every afternoon, he would walk back again, hoping, always waiting, always hoping to see the master once again. You know, Hachiko's love, faithful love, has so touched the Japanese people that they built a statue in honor, in memory of Hachiko, and it's at the Shibuya train station in Tokyo. So many tourists who go to this train station will take pictures there with the statue of Hachiko. Of course, today I'm not here to preach to you about dogs, but the point I'm making is this, that if even a dog can love so deeply and love so faithfully, how much more the Creator, the one who created the dog, God Himself, how much more does He love? And today's reading, Psalm 36, teaches us about the love of God. It is a love that gives and a love that forgives. God gives and God forgives. Psalm 36, verses 5 to 6. Your steadfast love, O Lord, extends to the heavens, your faithfulness to the clouds. Your righteousness is like the mountains of God. Your judgments are like the great deep. Man and beast you save, O Lord. Hallelujah. God's love is so vast. The psalmist David says that in terms of height, God's love stretches from earth to heaven. Can you measure that? How high is that? From earth to heaven. In terms of depth, the psalmist says, God's love is so deep that it stretches from the highest mountain down to the depths of the deepest ocean. How deep is that? Can we measure that? This is the tremendous love of God. And David, the psalmist, speaks of God's tremendous love in terms of poetic language, in terms of food and drink. And so Psalm 36, verse 8 says, they feast on the abundance of your house, and you give them drink from the river of your delights. God gives us so abundantly that we not only eat a picture of good things, we not only eat, but we actually feast on the abundance that God gives to us. And we drink from the river of his delights. That word delights in Hebrew is Eden. And Eden, well, that's how they pronounce it in Hebrew. In English, we pronounce it as Eden. And of course, we know this word, the famous Garden of Eden in the book of Genesis. It's exactly the same word. Psalm 36, verse 8, the river of delights, river of delights. Delights is exactly the same word used in Genesis 2:10, Eden, Eden. And so, drinking from the river of delights, drinking from the river of pleasure, drinking from the river of paradise, a poetic way of saying God gives and he gives good gifts. Last Sunday, we had a guest preacher at the 7 a.m. service and again at the 5 p.m. service, Dr. Joseph Ozawa. I was speaking to Dr. Joe on the week before the sermon. I said to him, Dr. Joe, would you like to do ministry? Would you like to pray for people after the service? And he said, yes, sure. He said, because the Holy Spirit seems to turn up. And so when we do ministry, he said, the Holy Spirit seems to show up. And so, yes, he said, yes, we will do ministry. And truly, the Holy Spirit did gloriously, did wondrously last week. This is a photo of a 7 a.m. member. His name is James Liao. James Liao, on a Wednesday, he was on his way to the SGH Heart Center for a regular checkup. But on his way there, he actually fell down. And four nurses who were on their way to work, they saw that he had fallen and they rushed to help him. He said that both his hands were bleeding so badly. They were so painful. And when he fell, he injured himself so badly that his shoulder couldn't move, his arms couldn't move. And to quote James, and pardon the language, but this is a direct quote from James. He said, my shoulder couldn't move, my arms couldn't move. The only things that could move were my legs and my big mouth. Well, that's how he speaks. All that could move were my legs and my big mouth. He said his hands were so painful, he couldn't shake anybody's hand. He couldn't even hold his handphone. So that was a Wednesday when he fell. A few days later, Sunday last week, he came to church, 7 a.m. service. After the service, he went to Dr. Joe Ozawa for prayer. It was a simple prayer of faith, nothing dramatic. In fact, it happened so seamlessly, so smoothly, until James didn't even realize he had been healed. He just left the prayer area. 10 minutes later, he suddenly realized he had been healed, and he came running back to the ministry area, screaming and shouting. He was shouting so much, we could hardly understand what he was saying. He was frantically saying, I've been healed, I've been healed. And so he raised his arm, and Dr. Joe Ozawa took the picture. And James gave Joazar a very hearty handshake. Praise God. Healing. This is one of the good things that God does in our life. A good gift. Praise God for medicine. Praise God for medical science. But we know that there are many things that doctors cannot do. But God alone, the healer, is the one. God's love gives and forgives. We look again at Psalm 36, verse 5. Your steadfast love, O Lord, extends to the heavens. This word steadfast is the Hebrew word hesed. And hesed means a love that is kind, good, and merciful. You say, isn't every love kind, good, and merciful? Oh, no, it's not. I think you would know that some people, when they love you, actually their love is not kind, good, and merciful, but their love is a controlling love. They actually want to control your behavior, control everything that you do. They want to manipulate you. That kind of love is not good. Perhaps you yourself have experienced, sadly, the kind of human love that changes so fast from love to hatred. It can change overnight because of a misunderstanding, a quarrel, betrayal of trust. Suddenly, so fast, love can change to hatred. But God's love is constant, unchanging, always kind, always good, always merciful. You say, how is this possible? It's possible because God's love not only gives, but also forgives. Forgives our sins. The law of sin says that when we sin against God, the judgment, the penalty is death. We have to die for our sins. And so in the Bible, in Old Testament times, people would offer animal sacrifices. And so that instead of the people dying for their sins, the animals would die instead. And you know that when Jesus died on the cross, he died once and for all to take away our sins. His blood infinitely better than the blood of all animals. All we have to do now is to simply put our trust in him, believe in Jesus as our Lord and Savior, believe that he, the Son of God, died to take away our sins. Put our trust in him. And when we do, when we make him our personal Lord and Savior, we are forgiven. God not only loves, but he forgives us, and we are cleansed. Of course, you know this. You know this so well. You have heard it so many times. In fact, sometimes I fear that we have heard the gospel so many times that it no longer has any impact on us. We've stopped feeling. Let me tell you a story. I told you just now about Japan's hero, Hachiko. So now let me tell you about New Zealand's hero. New Zealand's hero is Jack. Is a Jack Russell dog named George. Some years ago, George was playing with five children, and the children were very young, aged 3 to 12. They had a good time playing together, George with the children, and then after playing, they were walking home. On their way home, two fierce dogs, two pit bull terriers, came and attacked the children. Now, if you've seen pit bull terriers, you will know they are not massive in size, but in their compact bodies, they are extremely ferocious. They're very, very fierce dogs. And if you are ever walking a dog near a pit bull terrier, I think it's better you don't go head-on confrontation because these are really very fierce dogs. So these two pit bull terriers ran, charged against the children, and they were going to attack the children. The children were totally defenseless, too young. The only one who could help them was George, George the Jack Russell. So George bravely did all he could to defend the children. Jack Russells are jumpers. So George jumped, jumped to attack the two dogs, and he kept jumping. But the problem is George was an old dog, and how many times can an old dog jump? So George was doing his best to protect the children. The two pit bull terriers, they turned their attention. They left the children alone, and instead they turned on George. One pit bull terrier bit George on the head. Another one bit him on the back. And George was bleeding so badly. He was so badly injured that in the end, he died of his injuries. He was awarded a medal for bravery. And yes, a bronze statue was also set up in memory of George. And this is in a town, in the town center in New Zealand. Does it mean anything to you that a dog died to save children? I preached this at 7 a.m. this morning. People complained to me later. They said, June, how could you tell such a story? They said, we were crying. And they said, don't ever do this to us again. I ask you, does it touch your heart? Does it mean anything to you that a dog died to save children? And if yes, then how much more? How much more should we be touched that God gave His only beloved Son, His only begotten Son, Jesus, to die for us, to die to save us from our sins? He died to forgive us. Can we love the way God loves? Can we forgive the way God forgives? You know, Psalm 36 was written by David. And if you study the life of David, you find that he had so many enemies. He was hated from his youth to his old age. When he was young, his own brothers despised him. He was the youngest in a big family. His brothers looked down on him and mocked him. His own father didn't think that David could grow up to be anyone of substance. His own father didn't believe in him. Imagine growing up in a family where you are despised. Later, after David became a national hero by killing the Goliath the giant, the Philistine giant, even though David was Israel's national hero, the king, Saul, turned against him out of jealousy, and Saul tried many times to kill him. When David later became king of Israel, he had many enemies. All the enemy nations hated Israel, and so they were David's enemies. And finally, in his old age, David's own son, whom he loved so much, Absalom, turned against him and plotted to take the throne from him. And so here we have David, a man who was hated by so many people, hated right through his life. And yet, in Psalm 36, we find no trace of bitterness, no trace of anger. He mentions his enemies, but not in a bitter, hateful way. Read Psalm 36, the whole of it, and you will see that what grips David's heart is that he is consumed not by hatred of his enemies, but he is consumed by the love of God. Are we like David? What stage of life are we at? Are we at the stage where we can say, the love of God means more to me than anything else in this world? David was like that. Are we at that stage? Or are we still at the stage where we are being hurt and we are hating in return? This is the natural reaction. Someone hurts us without cause. We hate in return. Are we still at that stage? Or have we moved on until we're consumed by the love of God? God has promised that He will take care of us right to the end. Isaiah 46 verse 4 says, "Even to your old age I am He, and to gray hairs I will carry you." As we grow older, we have leg trouble. Some of us have trouble walking. God says, even to your old age, to your gray hair, I will carry you. In closing, I would like to tell you another testimony about a very special person. Special because this person is already 100 years old. And in just a few days' time, in February, this person will be 101 years old. This is Kathleen Lee Yin Oi. This picture was taken at her 100th birthday, and it's taken with her son, Peter. Peter is from the 7 a.m. service. Last week, when Dr. Joe Ozawa was having ministry after the 7 a.m. service, Peter and his wife, Janice, went to Dr. Ozawa for prayer. The reason was this. For the past 6 months, Auntie Oi, and that's how many people call her, Auntie Oi, for the last 6 months, she has been in and out of hospital. She was bleeding, and doctors couldn't find the cause of her bleeding. They scoped the whole gut, couldn't find anything wrong. They scoped her again, they couldn't find anything wrong. Yet all the time, her blood count was dropping, and she was losing so much weight. She became so skinny. She lost all her appetite. If anyone tried to give her food, she would just close her mouth very tightly and turn away, refusing to eat. And doctors couldn't find anything wrong with her. And yet all the time, she was getting weaker and weaker. And so last Sunday, Peter, her son, Janice, her daughter-in-law, went to Dr. Ozawa, and Janice produced her handphone, and she showed Dr. Ozawa, this is a picture of my mother-in-law on the handphone, and can you please pray for her? Is it okay for you to pray for her by laying hands on the handphone? And Dr. Ozawa was thinking, why not? Because in the Bible, Acts 19, it says that Paul, the great apostle, laid his hands on handkerchiefs. And when these handkerchiefs were brought to sick people, the sick people were healed. There is transference of spiritual power. God's healing power can be transferred through objects. And so Dr. Ozawa said he will go along with this simple request of faith to pray by laying hands. So he took hold of Janice's handphone. I was there, I saw. He took the handphone, he laid hands on the handphone, and he prayed a simple prayer, in the name of Jesus, be healed. Very short, simple prayer. No theatrics, no drama, no fire and lightning. Just very simple. But you know what? God answered. God answered. And that very same day, we prayed in the morning, that very same day, in the hospital, Auntie Oi suddenly became very cheerful and she was looking very normal. Cheerful, normal, and her bleeding stopped. Suddenly, her bleeding stopped. Now, this certainly was a miracle because all the time, the doctors could not find the cause and certainly did not know the cure. But after prayer, that very same day, her bleeding stopped and she became very cheerful. And so that very same day, she was discharged from hospital. She was not due to be discharged that day, but she suddenly became so well, she was discharged from hospital. And when she went home, she said, I want to eat rice. Whoa, her family was so delighted. She wants to eat rice. Remember that in the hospital, she had refused to eat. But when she went home, she said, I want to eat rice. And that was last week, last Sunday. Since then, Janice has been sending me videos. And in the videos, Auntie Oi is eating. She's eating. And Janice is so excited. And the grandchildren are in the video. And they're smiling. And they're just so happy. Everyone is overjoyed that God has done His miracle healing. Amen. Amen. God is good. God is good. God gives and gives, and His love forgives us our sins. Let's respond to the Lord. Let's come to Him. Let's come to Him. Let's close our eyes. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.